I'll let you drink, I'll let you fly. I'm a friend of God. internet. And he even titled that message what I've titled this message today. I saw that yesterday. John chapter 17, verses 13 through 18. I'm going to be reading in the King James Version for my scripture text today. And we won't try for any records of miracles today as far as time length. And it says there, 17:13, "And now come I to thee." Jesus is praying for his disciples in preparation for his departure. "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." The thing that kept Jesus going, the thing that kept Jesus motivated, was his joy. That's not what I'm going to preach about today, but it sounds good, doesn't it, Brother Kevin? Joy was his motivation. And he was praying that we would experience the same joy that he was, to motivate us to continue. "I have given them," verse 14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." And then our key verse on the side, if you want to jot it down, Matthew 9:37-38. And it reads in the English Standard Version, the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 37-38. "Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The title of our message today is just one word: sending. Lord, we're thankful again for this great meeting, great gathering of amazing people that you have collected from all over our community. There is a collective hunger in this house today, a collective thirsting for more than just the tradition, more than just the rituals, but we want more of you, Jesus. And I pray, O God, that you would answer that hunger and that thirst that we have for more of you in this meeting today. In the name of Jesus. God is attempting to send his message out into the world. He has rescued us from the grip of sin, from the grip of lies, and from worldliness or selfish pleasures. But he has left us in close proximity to these things. I wrote a recopied an article in the newsletter for the month of June this year called Sent. How many of you remember that article or had a chance to read it? And we often, he quotes there, we say, we're in the world, but not of the world. And he says what we should say is we're not of the world, but we're sent into the world. And we talked today in our Bible class about how little catchy sayings and quotes can actually lead us away from the scripture and the truth of God's word and not to him. And I was thinking about those times when you're working on your computer and you're trying to upload a file, but it just won't go through. And you have that maddening little circle, and it just goes sending. And you're thinking, you know. Yeah. And your head's going backwards, and you're doing the whole owl thing. And twisting your head like that, and you're just so frustrated. Or there have been times I was trying to send a text message to Sergio a couple of weeks ago to tell him to remember to bring my cooler with him to church on Sunday. But it said, message not sent. And I said, what's wrong with this stupid phone? So I restarted my phone, shut it off, and turned it back on. And I know sometimes maybe the tower is just not connecting right. Maybe my operating system is glitched for some reason. And then I sent it again. Message not sent. Do you want to resend this message? Resend. Man, I was aggravated. And then I thought to try to send a message to somebody else. Come to find out, the message was getting out to everybody else. But for some reason, his phone wasn't getting the message. And I thought, well, he's probably changed numbers or shut his phone off. Why do people do that? Can never keep up with everybody's number. Just keep the same number. Amen. Somebody's here. And I thought about this message. God is trying to send a message to the church. He's trying to send a message through the church. But sometimes there's a glitch in the system. Sometimes there's a glitch in the church. And God has a message that he's trying to get out. But if I could use a pun here, but it's not making it to the server. And for whatever reason, it's out of range or no longer in service or bill not paid or blocked call or wrong number or, well, that's just a solicitor, or God is getting the message answering machine of leave a message after the beep. God is trying to get his message out, and the service that he uses is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the messengers. And I wonder if you're getting God's messages, and I wonder if you're passing them on. Or I wonder whose messages we're getting sometimes. And I wonder whose message we're passing on. We need to make sure that the message that we send is from the Lord. God rescued us from the power of this world. But he left us here in very dangerous proximity to the things that we have been delivered from. Why would God do that? Why would he not save Sister Lois and then kill her? Wouldn't that have been great? You know, we have a new gospel message. Get saved and die. And then you don't have to worry about the trials and the tribulations. You're done. Get saved and it's do not have to worry anymore. Go directly to heaven. Do not pass hell. Do not deal with all the trials and tribulations and refining process that we're going through here on the earth. Just God, save me and kill me. And honestly, I think he does that with some people because that's the only hope for them. But the rest of us, God has left right here in a very dangerous proximity to the things that we have once lived and believed. And I believe that God has done that for a reason. And that reason is very simple. So that God could get the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. So that he could get the message out to all the people around us that are still bound in selfish pleasures and deceived by the devil's lies. There is no doubt that we are not of this world. And I think we need to remember that. The feeling, how many of you sometimes you feel sometimes I feel so out of place or out of touch with the world. It's like a fish in a bowl, and sometimes I feel torn between two worlds. Sometimes nothing seems to satisfy. We walked in the house with the wife the other day and said, boy, wouldn't it be great if I had an Amazon.com package waiting on the front step, some new toy to play with, some new book to read. And there's never a place where we become satisfied with the things that this world has to offer, because we have been set free from the bondage and the pleasures of those things. And the only thing that can satisfy us, and the only time in this life that we will ever find satisfaction, is when we die and go to be with the Lord. That is the only time we are ever going to truly know what it means to be satisfied, because we are not of this world any longer. Food cannot satisfy. Raiment and shelter will never satisfy. The world seeks after all of these things, Jesus said, but you are to seek my kingdom and my righteousness. Sex and relationships and wealth, possessions and family and careers and hobbies will never satisfy the born-again believer, because they have been born to a new inner yearning for the spiritual things of the kingdom of God. And there is nothing in this world that can satisfy that yearning. Either by the world or in this world. Because we are like Abraham, we are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We are not of this world, but and not only are we not of this world, but the world hates us because we don't go along with what they're doing. And the truth, and the painful truth, is the closer we are to Jesus and the more like-minded with Him we become, the further we grow away from the world, the more we become unlike the world that we are living in. And there is a powerful hatred and animosity that builds up between the people who are of the other world and the people who are of this world. How many of you can agree and attest with me that when you run into somebody that is not a believer, you can feel the anger towards you, the hatred towards you coming at you? Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 27, the English Standard Version says, an unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, but one whose way is straight is an abomination to the wicked. And Jesus said in Matthew 10:22, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. There is a powerful, powerful dynamic in the culture against followers of Christ and those whose God is this, the God of this world, the devil. There is a powerful animosity and anger and hatred, and sometimes from us to them as well as them to us. It is difficult for us to cross that divide. It's difficult for us because when you do, not only are you going to be taking fire from the enemy's side, but you are also going to fall in a crossfire. And you sometimes may wind up taking fire from your own compatriots in the spiritual battle. It's a dangerous place that you want to go. Powerful, powerful hatred has been spewing towards you ever since you gave your life to Jesus. In 1 John 3:12 through 14, it says, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. And it says there in 1 John 3:13, do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. I'm going to tell you something. If the world loves you, you better get seriously scared of where you are spiritually. If the world loves you, you better be careful how you're walking before Christ Jesus. And I'm not saying that we're going to go out there and stir up trouble everywhere we go, but you cannot stop that effect that holy living and righteous living and preaching of the truth of Jesus has on people who live that opposite lifestyle. They are not going to like it, and they are going to respond in powerfully negative ways to what we believe and what we say and do. 1 Peter 4 and 4 in the New Living Translation says, of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. And so they slander you. We are not of this world, but the world hates us because we don't go along. But Jesus said, I'm sending them into the world like you sent me into the world. But we are being sent into the world to get the message out. Look at baby. We were Saturday morning, I got a call from a pastor in the area. He was a part of the prayer meeting, the community prayer meeting. And had some questions for him about some things. And he had an amazing testimony. I've been hearing a lot of these lately coming from you. And I'd like to hear more and more and more of them. And he said, we were on our way home from the prayer meeting Friday night, and a car came down the road, and I began to realize the closer and closer we got that they were not going to get out of the way and give me room to get by. And I was either going to have to get off in the ditch. And instead, we came so close to this other car that both of our mirrors were damaged. And he said, we pulled over, they pulled over, and we found an elderly woman whose name was Ruby. And she was lost. And she thought she was in Indiana, outside of Indianapolis. And they called the police, and they found out that she had been reported missing since 1 o'clock that day. And she was just driving pell-mell down roads. He said that I could see in her bumper, it already had grass on it, everything. She had probably already been in the ditch and didn't even know it. And I was thinking about what he was saying. Of course, they got involved with the police and one of the local motels and got her set up, called the family and everything to be taken care of and get her back where she needed to be. And the thought came to my mind, you know, when was the last time that we clipped mirrors with someone who was hopelessly lost, their lives careening out of control, and God sent us down a desolate road, and there in the face of a certain disaster, we come head to head with an individual that is completely lost. The people in this world, they think they're someplace, but they're someplace totally different. In the spiritual mind, the Bible says they are blind, and even many religious organizations, the Bible says Jesus was talking about the Jews and their religious organization, that they were blind people leading blind people, and the whole group of them were in the ditch. I hate to say this today, but sometimes I believe there are whole denominations that have found their way into the ditch of going down the road that God has sent them. When was the last time that I clicked mirrors with somebody who was hopelessly lost in the spiritual dimension of things. And I like what Jesus said when he started his ministry. The first scripture he read out of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach and sent me into the world to preach the good news and to deliver the captives." Yes, we have been delivered. Yes, we are living holy lives. No, this world will never satisfy us. But God did not take you out of the world. He sent you into the world. And He's sending the church into the world to get His message out. There is a way out of this lifestyle. There is a better way, a better path. There is a place of deliverance. There is a place where your eyes can be opened. There is a place. And sometimes I think the church is running away from what God is sending it to do. In the book of Jonah, the Bible says that little minor prophet, God said to him, "I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to leave the land of the Palestine area. I want you to leave the land of David. I want you to turn your back on this godly nation. I want you to get out of this safe and protected place. And I want you to go over here to Nineveh of Assyria, those wicked and evil people. And I want you to preach my message to those people." And Jonah said, "I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I'm not going to send that message to those people. Because to be honest with you, I'd be very happy to sit there and watch them burn in hell." I'm telling you, sometimes I wonder where the mind and the spirit of the church is. That how quickly we forget the sensation of the flames of hell that were licking at our feet just so many years ago, when Jesus sent somebody to us to get us out of that mess. He didn't just pull you out of the world, but He saved you from the ways of the world, but He left you right there in close proximity. He pulled you out of the flames just far enough back so you wouldn't be burned, but still close enough so you could feel the heat. And He said, "I'm sending you back into the world to bring my message to those people, just like you received my message." Other seven sons of Sceva were not sent. The Bible says, "How can they preach unless they are sent? Or how can they herald the good news unless they are sent?" The seven sons of Sceva were not sent. Everybody say, "Whoops." And we know what happened to them. They found out quickly that you don't play around with the things of God. It's not a game. It's not a joke. If you're going to go work for the Lord, He's got to send you. He told His disciples, "I'm giving you power over devils and demons. I'm giving you power to heal and work miracles. I'm sending you into the communities to preach my good news and to work good works." God is sending the church back into the world. The Spirit, Jesus said, "The Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." God is sending. Jesus said, "Pray. Pray. Because the laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that He would send out laborers." Let's all stand together today. God is filling us with His joy. Not so that we can sit around and just keep it to ourselves, but He fills us with joy so that we can stay motivated in the work that He's calling us to do. But if I go back to that place, I don't know if I can withstand the temptations. how can God send me back in there? He locked it up. Yeah. Jesus prayed, he said, God, I pray that you would, not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil. The word keep is guard, to protect. When God sends you into the battlefield, he sends you with the armor that you need to protect you. He sends you with the weapons that you need to defeat the adversary. When God sends you, he sends you with the resources you're going to need. When God sends you, he puts his full weight behind you. You're not going to fall back into those old patterns, because God is going to guard you and protect you from the evil that is there. And he is sanctifying us with his truth. Jesus was set apart. He was set aside. He was a man that never knew a woman. He was a man that never had marriage and family relationships and children. He was set aside for God's special purposes. His whole life centered around this mission that he was sent to do. And Jesus said, I want my followers, my disciples, to be set aside, to be sanctified, to be set apart by the truth of the Word of God. You can deal with the hate. You can deal with the longings for the other life. Paul said, I would rather die and be with God. Isn't that what he said? I wish the Lord would take me, and I can be done with all these toils and snares down here. But he said, God left me here to help you. God left me here to strengthen you. God left me here to reach out into the darkness and shine. You know, the world would be a very dark and cold place without light. The world would be a very dark and cold place without light. Yes, when you shine the light, people are going to run, because people hate the light, because their deeds are evil. But I was praying the other night for the LGBT community, and I could feel in the Holy Ghost, God, if there are any, that there is still a glimmer of sensitivity left in their spirit. If there is still some sense of consciousness that what they are doing is wrong, if there is still some spiritual hunger left in them for something more, that the lifestyle that they are living is not satisfying, God, tap into that. Whatever is still there, you don't know. Yes, they are going to hate. Yes, they are going to run. But you don't know what's hidden deep down inside their heart and mind. You don't know what hunger they have inside of them, but God does. Some people are going to fall into more condemnation and judgment. And when they get before the throne of God, he's going to say, I sent Sister Martha to you, but you hated her. I sent Sister Davis to you, but you laughed at her. And to some people, we're just going to be greater condemnation. But to others, we are going to be the light of salvation. For others, we are going to be the turning point in their lives. For others, we are going to be the ones that the Lord shows how to tap into that one little place that's left in their hearts, and to begin to pull out of them. And God is going to cause a responsiveness to come upon them, and they are going to receive God's mercies and his salvation. God is going to say, I'm no longer going to hold what you are saying and doing against me against you, but I'm going to let it all go. I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to put my favor on your life. I don't know about you, but But there can there be any other greater experience as a believer in Christ? Can there be any more deeply satisfying thing as a believer to know that you reached somebody for Jesus? That you helped somebody out of the dark? Can there be any deeper fulfillment in this earth and while we struggle and suffer here below than to know that we have done the one thing that Jesus left us here to do, to reach those who are wandering and lost hopelessly in this world? Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. God, Lord Jesus, let us be directed down a very narrow road. And let us clip mirrors with that one person who needs what we have. Let us, oh God, come head to head in a divine confrontation where light and darkness meet. And let the power of light prevail over the darkness in somebody's life and spirit and mind. Put the words in our mouths. Put the love and compassion in our hearts. And Lord, let a joy of salvation bubble up out of our souls. The people that come to us, that we can be like what Jesus said to the woman at the well. Woman, I can give you something to drink that will take away your thirst. And not only that, but you will never thirst again. Oh God, let us be that well of salvation for somebody who was dying of thirst and not being able to quench it with anything that this world has to offer. Oh Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 6, Lord, send me out. Send me forth. God wants to send you as a laborer into his harvest field. The song that they're about to sing is titled, Will You Be the One? Let's meditate upon this as they sing. Will you be the one?